LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
Here we go, everyone. Let's build the energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. Have you ever wondered, from temples located on windswept mountain terraces to ancient monolithic structures built in unexpected locations whose patronage has long since been lost to history, the stories of the spiritual earth resound with amazing tales still untold. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. This week, we welcome our special guest, Papa G of Aroma G's Botanica and Papa G's Folk Magic Studio in Nashville, Tennessee, bringing us today's topic, how to choose a spiritual worker. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Papa G. Make sure you're logged in to Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now let's catch up with our host, Reverend Art. Take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, for that intro, as always. And welcome, everyone, to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. Really excited for the show tonight. This is a topic that a lot of people kind of struggle with on their discovery of trying to find, you know, just the right spiritual worker to handle their situations and really build that relationship. So I'm just completely thrilled to have Papa G joining us. But before we jump into all of that, how are you doing today, Reverend James?
I'm doing well, trying to stay a little warm because we're having that kind of frigid mountain air. But I've been doing a lot of working lately. I've been so busy making oils, making baths, making candles. I feel like I barely have time to do anything else. But hopefully coming to an end of a little bit of the crunch time and things are starting to even out. And that means that I'm going to have more openings for reading soon. So that's great.
That's fantastic. Yeah, definitely been a busy time for FolkConjure.com here. So let's bring in our special guest for today, Papa G. How are you doing, Papa G, and welcome?
Good. Everything's busy here, as always, in between my private practice and the store and all the things you try to cram in on a personal level when you have 2 minutes here and there. It's that time of
year
where...
You are probably the busiest person I know.
Yeah, we take like every day we work out. So we get up and start answering emails at 6:30 in the morning over coffee. And then about 8 o'clock, we jump in the shower and then go to the office and the store. We go to the store first, turn on the lights on, go down to the office. Store doesn't open until 10. We stay there until about 3 o'clock, and then we come home, take a 20-minute power nap, and then get up and start all over, whether it's business paperwork or lighting candles out in the chapel for clients or writing blog posts all the way up till bedtime. So,
you know, we did
this
have
year
Robert
we're trying
Roy
to make a little.
On.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we did have Reverend Roy on a few weeks ago, your husband and the partner in Aroma G's Botanica. And we talked a little bit about the store and everything, but again, I'm just, every time I think of your shop and what you've built there in Nashville, it's just, it's such a phenomenal place. You truly have built really like a landmark for, you know, that Central Tennessee region. And, you know, my hat's off to you and Roy both. It's an experience that really you kind of have to see it to just understand the energy of the store and the dedication that you show to the excellence of your workings, your readings, and everything. It really is an inspiration. So definitely kudos to you.
You know, when it comes to the store and all the other things I do down to my personal altar spaces, we were talking one day and I realized, you know, there's so many courses you take when in high school or early college or whatever, and you think, I'm never going to use this. And then I can't tell you how much my taking 4 years of art has transformed almost everything I do, from the way I set up an altar to the way we decorate the store, in doing displays and, you know, the colors that are used and what's on the ceiling to bring the space all together. And so I am so glad I took all those courses, because it has paid off now in ways I wouldn't imagine, you know, that creates a space.
But have you used algebra yet?
So, no, I failed algebra twice. I will tell you that here on the air, I failed it twice. My mind is not hooked up that way. I mean, when I lived at the college around, I think I was around 45 or something, you know, and I had to take algebra because before I was in college preparatory English and general math because I just did not get algebra. And I tell you, I would have to study 6 hours at a time the night before a test just so I would retain it long enough to take the test. 2 days later, gone. I don't understand that. But, you know, I'm very right-brained.
You know, it really shows that it's every detail of everything you do has been measured and weighed, and it really... It comes out in the photos you share, you know, this on social media, in everything that you see in the store, from the signage and everything. Like, it really is just phenomenal. So for anybody that ever is cutting
totally
through,
stolen. There could be there's elements of, there was a grand metaphysical shop here in Nashville. It's called Magical Journey. It was the first one. And I taught a couple of classes there. I worked there for a very short time. But I would hang out there all the time. And for anyone who remembers Magical Journey, if you look around the store, there are elements of it in there that, you know, I found neat. From the pendulums that are hanging on a wood hooks over the checkout counter. I mean, that's what they did. So there are little spots here and there that are an homage to other places that we have been or experiences that we've had or things like trips to Chattanooga. We love to go to Chattanooga for day trips or sometimes weekends. And you see little elements of things like Rock City or whatever around the store. You may not notice it, but it's just a matter of taking all of those different elements and bringing them back home and trying to do it in some sort of artistic way.
And that just really speaks to building the community. And Aromagees is definitely a part of the community. You know, I've having had the opportunity to visit several times now, you know, I've seen every walk of life come and hang out, or, you know, they're some come in and, you know, they have their purpose, they do what their thing and they're in and out, and others, you know, really just come in and enjoy that experience. So it's truly, you know, it really is just beyond belief for many.
That's why even with employees, we very much stress this is a place where the public comes in to escape their problems. So we've had, you know, several, it's been 23 years, we've had several employees over the years, and we have to make sure to remind them. Now, we'll listen to it out at the picnic table outside if you got anything to say, but remember, the customers did not come in here to hear your problems. They came in here to escape theirs. So everyone has everyone knows that they have to contribute to the magical energy of the store. Staging when it needs it, or just sometimes just listening to people instead of talking. Sometimes just listening.
Listening goes a very long way.
And so, one thing I would stress to everyone over the years, the most important thing is we never answer a question that we don't know the answer to. That's the thing we tell them in interviews. Never make up an answer. If you don't know, say, I don't know. But we'll find out.
That's fairly unheard of in many situations. So it speaks to the integrity of what it is that you've built. You know, and one of the things that I like to talk with our guests about is really what brought you to your magical path. Like, what was the evolution of Papa G and leading into the Aroma Gregory Company and everything?
From a very young age, I mean, I've grown up in, I grew up in Kentucky. I was born in Owensboro. All the family's in a little bitty town called Calhoun, which is near Owensboro, Hartford, around in there. And population 900, by the way. And, you know, it's in the western coal region of Kentucky. My family has lived in that area for about over 300 years now. So if you're around that area, you know, you grow up with things like ghost stories. So while my family was not mystical, they were Baptist, there was always some elements of magic around. My grandfather would give me pyrite to carry in my pocket to bring money, although he didn't consider it magic and didn't know what it was. My grandmother, on my mother's side, she would keep blue bottles in her windowsills, which, if you go over to the Appalachian region, you keep blue bottles and you find more bottle trees to keep spirits out.
Yep.
So you know, we consider us more of the cousin region. I've taught this in some of my Appalachian classes, where we're called the cousin region, where your cousins moved away when they moved over to the other parts just outside of Appalachia. But those elements remain. So, you know, I had those things in my memories. My grandfather was a big crafter. He would garden and make his own wine. That was probably where my potion making comes from. He would carve gourds, you know, into he would carve gourds and have them hanging all over this well, and he had it on grapevines. So you have that element that brought me into mixing things and creating things. And then when I got a little older, I think I was 16 when I got my first tarot deck. And like all 16-year-olds, what do? You play with a Ouija board. So, you know, as I got older, I met someone who was actually Wiccan. I think I was 25 at the time, 25, 26. And so I studied that with her for a little bit. It wasn't really my thing. I found over the years I'm more of a witch, not a Wiccan, more of witchcraft than the religion of it. I'm not a big fan of the structure. And then later on, in my late 40s, here we're skipping way ahead, I discovered hoodoo, which to me was just more, it was the structure of hoodoo is why I do it. It's the simplicity of the spell, the down-home aspect of it, which even though I am not African-American, I do say I'm a guest in the tradition because it is mainly an African-American tradition, but it has a lot of Appalachia in it. So it brings me back to those memories. So that's why I was more drawn to it, because it was just down-home, simple spell casting without a lot of ritual. And I did
I think that,
work.
That is one of the things that has hoodoo.
Yeah.
That really draws people to hoodoo in and of itself. That's where we have a little similarity there.
It's just very simplistic and easy to grasp. Now, the part that leads to
Ramadini
is different.
Simplicity.
Right. You know, I was working at, I used to be a house painter. I would actually paint apartments. That's what I did through most of my 20s, mid-30s. We would go in and paint apartments when people left. And I was with my partner at the time, which was before Roy. And the same friend who introduced me to Wicca, she managed a store called Garden Botanica. And for those who don't remember that, it's sort of a mixture between a Bath and Body Works and a, you know, I can't remember the name of the other store. There was a more natural version of that. I think it was the Body Shop.
I think you're right.
And she has my partner at the time to, you know, she said, listen, our store is closing in 3 months. I can't find an assistant manager. Well, you come do it because no one wants to take this job because it's, you know, it's going away. And he really wasn't interested. And I said, I'll do it. So I would paint in the evening and then go work there in the daytime. And they had things like creams and lotions. And there was a custom bar with all of these oils completely surrounding it, and gallons of shower gel and body wash and lotion and shampoo that you would choose your own scents on perfume samplers, perfume strips, and then we would create it for you. So when the store closed, we decided, hey, one day we're going to make a store like this. And they wanted us to throw everything away. So what did I do? I took all of the heavy glass shelves in there, and I took them and put them in storage, along with other displays that They didn't care if we had them. They were just going to trash it. So we started a company. And it turns out we were better as friends than business partners. And she didn't have a lot of time to do it. It was called Mind and Body Bath and Perfumery. That was in 1999. And then, so we dissolved it. And that same year, I learned how to make soap. And I went and bought aromagregory.com. Back when no one had a website. Only the big companies had websites back then.
Right.
So it started with my going to flea markets and craft shows and things. I would make soap, and then after I'd learned to make soap, I found this company called Nashville Waxworks, which was a candle supply company. Donna Pemberton was the woman who owned it. And we kept talking, and so I started to work for her. She taught me candles, and I taught her soap. And then I worked there for a long time. I was still working there when Roy and I met. And I was still going to flea markets and things like that. My previous partner was not very supportive of it. He thought it was a bad idea. So we fooled him. And it was Roy who actually helped turn it into something bigger. He was still working for the state, and then I think it was 10 or 11 years ago, he retired from there and was able to fully commit to it. It was still aromagregory.com, and then it started to grow from there. So I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago, we took on the name Aromagees. At the time we named it, it was very popular to have your name in something. Martha Stewart had Martha by Mail. There's Harry and David. Things like that. And then we took on Aromagees because we noticed no one in the store on the phone wanted to say where they were. They didn't want to spit out this long word, Aroma Gregory. They would say, I'm at the tea shop. I'm at the candle shop. You could hear them on the phone talking to people. And at the time, it was just teas, candles, and aromatherapy. There were no magical elements. That didn't come until about the time we named it Aromagees. Probably, I say 6 or 7. It's probably been more like 8 or 9 years now. Because Roy wanted to open a metaphysical store. So we were talking about, how are we going to open a second store and stuff? And forget opening a second store. Let's just transform this into what we want. And here we are.
It's actually a really interesting history. And, you're not only a member of the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers and, a spellcaster, a root worker, conjure doctor, however you want to put it, but you're also an aromatherapist and hand-making the products, too, which, that's almost unheard of in big corporate
oil,
world.
Our oil, sachet powder, all of it's handmade. So the soap isn't a big thing anymore. It's still in the store, but for many years we owned a separate division called SoapByTheLoaf.com. There was only a couple people doing that, selling whole loaves of soap to the public.
Huh.
One was Sandy Main, who's written a lot of soap making books. So people would order it in bulk at wholesale prices from us, and they would put their own label on it. So you would go all the way across the country from New York to California. There was a lot of spas and things that bought it from us consistently. And you never knew that we're the ones who made the soaps. And that was in business until it was just last year, where the industry changed. Because so many people started doing it, and the cost of shipping after COVID just skyrocketed, where it began to be double what it would cost us to make things, and it became no longer profitable to sell it wholesale. So we still make it for the store, at a retail price, but yeah, that wholesale business was in business for 15 years out of the 23 the Roman Jesus has been around.
I'm definitely starting to understand a little bit more of why you are the busiest person I know. all of these
fingers in all the pies.
I mean, it's just it is a wonderful thing that you've built, though, and I really hope that you really understand the level of how inspirational that is. I mean, just to have been able to put all of these somewhat disparate parts together and build this organization, it's just phenomenal. And then on top of that, you have your festival, the Folk Magic Festival that you host annually that we were able to participate in last year.
That is totally free.
You teach classes that are also free?
Six classes, the food. It's really good publicity for the store. It's not like we don't get paid back for it, because it's like the busiest day of the year. It is the Folk Magic Festival, which is officially the Tennessee Folk Magic Festival, is busier than the week of Christmas. I mean, I wish we could do something like that every weekend, that I would be dead.
Well, I mean, you do even on the weekends. You guys have your weekend classes that you offer for free, and you also put them up on your YouTube channel. And I know you also do your online auctions or your the live auctions and sales and just a little bit of everything. And, you know, it's
that and trying to find time to write books. And
I was just about to go into that. And you're also a published author with how many books now?
11. I'm almost done with the 12th one. Yeah, I'm almost done with the 12th one, and then we're going to move into some booklet publishing. Reminiscence of a lot of the little booklets, like 40 pagers, 30, 40 pagers you would find in all these metaphysical and New Age shops that focus on one single topic that's like something really straightforward.
Very
of course,
cool.
I'll still do a long form book.
Do we get a little bit of a sneak peek into the 12th upcoming book?
That is, I do have one called Papa G's Hoodoo Herbal, which is about the herbs, how to use herbs magically, mainly geared towards hoodoo. This one is Papa G's Little Book of Candle Magic. So it's all about the different types of candles, the sizes, the shapes, the colors, the associations of the colors, the history of candle making, different ways you can use them magically. I believe when I'm done with it, it'll probably be about 80, 85 pages, something like that. I wanted it to be a smaller book. The only thing I'm lacking now is candle spells. That's the part I'm working on. But it'll show all sorts of stuff, like not only how to use candles, but how to read smoke, how you actually read the glass in a 7-day candle for divination, how you read wax. Nothing in great, long, lengthy detail, but it'll touch on everything.
Very cool. Maybe that'll be able to debut at the 2023 Tennessee Folk Magic Festival.
That should be out by then. I'm assuming that will be my class, or at least an element of it.
I, for one, will definitely be looking forward to that. But let's go ahead, and we're going to get jumping into our topic for today, the how to pick a spiritual worker. But before we do that, take a message from our sponsors.
LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hooter Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurement Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, the Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Thursdays, 1 to 2, and Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays, 7 to 8, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern. All of our shows are available in archives at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, where you will see them listed by title and episode and with clickable links. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic contra practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Back to you, Reverend Art.
All right. Thank you, Reverend James. And let us jump into our topic for today, how to choose a spiritual worker, which, knowing Papa G, this is a topic that's very near and dear to his heart and mine as well. There's so many individuals out there, and it seems like more popping up every day. So let's get into this, Papa G. Take it
the
away.
One thing I think that's popping up here and there too much is scammers.
Very much so.
People who, yeah, people find it on Instagram a lot. The past 2 weeks, I think it was 2 weeks ago, my Instagram account was copied 6 times, 6 days in a row. People will go on and impersonate you by changing the username just a little bit. They'll take your profile picture, take part of your pictures, and then change the name. Like mine is Papa G's Folk Magic Studio. And they'll get Papa G's Folk Magic Studio with 2 D's, or one with 2 I's and one with 2 O's, and then start messaging people. Spirit told me to reach out to you because you need a reading. What's your credit card number? You know, people are not looking closely and they think it's you. So it's screwing with people like me and others who are legitimate with their reputations. Luckily, I have people message me. Go ahead.
I know Reverend James and I were on the list of those that were messaging you in some of these situations. It was just bizarre how all of it, all at once, just out of nowhere, it was the Papa G clone army showing up all over.
Here's
Instagram.
Another one. Here's another one.
And I did take some of your advice, by the way, Papa G, and decided to have some conversations with these individuals as they were messaging me.
Now, that was not my idea. Madame Pamita was one of the first people to do it. And I'm like, I'm doing that too, where she would actually tell her followers whenever she got cloned. She said, listen, go screw with them. Waste their time. Ask them stupid questions. Like, there's a unicorn in my backyard. What do I do? And they just keep talking to you because they want to get to the point where you give them your credit card. So, yeah, I've had lots of people that just hysterically had fun. Didn't you say you were on there for 90 minutes with them?
I maxed out at just over, just under 3 hours. With
oh,
one
that
of them. But I mean, there really is something to be said here. You know, one of the main reasons, like, I myself joined the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers was we have the code of ethics, and that,
right,
that governs what we do and how we present ourselves. And this is one of the important sorts of things to look for when you're picking a spiritual worker or a spiritual organization. You know, do they have a kind of a this set standard of what you can expect? To me, that's one of the very basic.
And also you can, at AIR, which is readersandrootworkers.org, you can research all of these people and see their faces. And if you have a bad experience, which rarely anyone does, there's an ombudsman to come in and mediate. So it's good that he's there. He doesn't have much. He or she, whoever, there's different people in charge at different times, take on the role. Luckily, they're out of work a lot, because it is all ethics, a lot of ethical workers. That's the part that I think is important, to be able to actually research someone. Too many people do not read the fine print.
Very, very true on that one.
Many people will disagree with me because they say, well, some people want to keep their privacy. I'm like, if you're going to do this professionally, then at some element you have to give up your part of your privacy, because many people, they're like, well, so-and-so, I can understand they don't want to show their face. To me, if you're doing this, you should show your face. Say, I'm a real person. I'm not a bot. I'm not overseas waiting to take your money. And part of researching someone, I would tell them, do they have, you know, it isn't just someone on Instagram or TikTok messaging you. Do they have a Facebook? More importantly, do they have a website? Can you physically speak to them? Are all these things connected together? Can you see, connect these dots and see this is a real person? With hopefully who has,
like,
some reviews.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to bring that up. You know, look for testimonials, Google for testimonials, Google for reviews. The information is out there. And, you know, when you're choosing a spiritual worker, it's a very personal decision. I mean, there's things that, you know, your conversations will be had that are of a sensitive nature. And do you really want to just trust that to, you know, some rando on the street?
True. I mean, there's, and people come to me for a different brand of work. I don't know if I've ever said this out loud, but let's say like my tarot readings. We might as well call them Tough Love Tarot. Because people come to me because I will, you know, if they're being ridiculous about something in their lives and they're causing their own misery, I get in their face and tell them about it. I don't soft pedal it and say, oh, I believe he's coming back to you, when they just told me a story of how they drove the guy off. And I'm like,
right,
you're being an ass, and I'm here to tell you about it. Forget this bell work. Why don't you go to his house and apologize?
Yeah, we definitely, we see our fair share of that as well. And it, you know, that the tough love is honestly one of those things that I've had people ask me, you know, who should I go to? And, you know, the very first thing, well, do you feel drawn to anyone? But, you know, having somebody that will actually tell you clearly that, you know, you're screwing up, you need to buck up, you need to do this, you need to do that, and not sugarcoating it, which is really, I mean, that's one of the things that you see the scammers do. No matter, and I found this out in my almost 3-hour conversation, that no matter what I say, they were there for it. Hook, line, and sinker. They had an answer for everything. And really, that's not.
And you were throwing some really stupid stuff at them.
Yes, I was. I really don't want to say something.
Yeah.
We had a grand old time.
We'll say that
you
were really testing their limits. How about we'll put that nicely.
Very much so, and so that's just one of the signs of that legitimacy. Is does this person have my best interests in mind? Will they, for lack of a better way to put it, call me out on my shit?
Right.
Because we need
Cat
that.
Cat put in the chat, Mr. Tuplev Tarot, but you're a sweet person when they get to know you, Papa G. Thank you, Cat. I am a nice person. And I mean, you know, as a kid, I rarely got in trouble. I was always good and didn't do much. And the only time I would get in trouble was the way I would speak to people. So a little bit of that's still left over. But at the same time, it's like, I don't want to take any crap from someone. It's like you're sitting there feeding me this long story that is just, I can tell, I'm not talking about all clients. There's some. It's like, you're just full of it. And I'm like, I have to stop you and tell you, you're full of it. There's one person who constantly wants a reading about what this guy at work is doing. Is he interested in me? Does he have any? She asks the same questions every 2 weeks, blah, blah, blah. Finally, I had to say, well, let me ask you, what does your husband think about what guy thinks about you? You know, you remember you're married, right? Why don't you ask your husband what he thinks of you? She didn't like that answer.
I'm not surprised.
She called again. People, many clients, you'd think I would run them off, but they come back for that. Because, of course, I back it up with good advice and compassionate advice, but there comes a breaking point where I'm like, no, stop this conversation and let me tell you what's going on. You are the author of your own misery, so just cut the shit.
I mean, but really, you know, truer words are not spoken that you know, a majority of the situations that we do see are being exacerbated or created by people's inability to really read the room and
to read themselves
and read themselves
as well.
and really to be honest with themselves. And that's one of the biggest things to find out about your reader or about your spiritual worker. You know, if you're somebody's coming to you for spell work, you know, you want to know, are they going to do this legitimately? Are they going to do this with your best interest in mind? You know, have they crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's, or, you know, really taken the time to get to know you? You know, another thing I wanted to, because we kind of already spoke a little bit about the scammers. And one thing that I you do this perfectly is when you feel or you've located accounts that have stolen your photographs.
I publish it and call them out on it.
yes, you do. And it's very clearly and concisely. And, you know, that's one thing because we're seeing it on Pinterest. We're seeing it on Instagram. We see it on Etsy is another one. And really many, many other of these online platforms. And it's really got me kind of going in and doing what they call that reverse image search.
Right.
To, you know, go see where else this picture pops up. I think you had the best one, though, where they stole a photo of a love working or a breakup work and said that it was a love working.
Yeah, it's like it's a back-to-back that candle. They don't even know enough to fake it. Now, that one did cover up my name. All mine had my signature on top of the picture, and that one did cover it up with a little bit of a billboard that says love working or whatever. But I have seen people steal my photograph and put it on their Etsy shop or whatever, trying to sell spells to people, and it still has my signature on it. We're talking about some really stupid thieves.
So really, when it comes down to it, I mean, everyone has the tools to be able to protect themselves from the scams, and it really is in everybody's best interest to do that little bit of extra footwork to find out who it is.
All it takes is opening a new tab and searching for the person's name. Can you find them anywhere else on the web?
Right.
It takes 2 minutes.
Do they have a social media presence that they actually interact with? You know, is there a profile with 2 pictures on it and it's been sitting there since, you know, 2019 and there's been no activity? Or was the Facebook page just made?
Correct. We have a group, a Facebook group for people who are into folk magic and everything. And I have it set where if you apply to be in the group, if you only joined Facebook a couple of weeks ago, I deny you. Some may be legit. Well, stick around on Facebook for a month or two and come back, and we'll talk about it. But most are clone accounts.
That's just important for, you know, that it might seem a little gatekeeping, but it is in a way to, I mean, you are keeping your group safe. It's
right,
one of those necessary sort of things.
The person will go on and begin advertising their readings, which in the group rules, it says no advertising readings, just talk about mystical stuff. I don't advertise my own readings on, and it's my group.
You know, that's one of the things too is, you know, in trying to find, in this case, we'll go with a reader, is really how far out there are they putting themselves, you know, to really be able to get to know them and to follow their body of work, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it.
And like, what's their specialty?
Like, and that's one thing that people really, I don't think they take that into account often enough. And that's one of the things that we do very well at AIR is it's all broken down. The organization is there. You can find somebody that does specific spell work. You can find somebody that does that works with specific traditions, whether that be Buddhist or Christian or, you know, what have you. These are, it's almost like Work to the Kingdom, and I know you've been a big part of putting everything together, and I definitely thank you to that in you know, the support that you've given the organization over the years. There's even, we even maintain a page, and this cat actually called it out in our chat, that at AIR, we even keep a page of fake psychics who have stolen photos from AIR's root workers.
Right.
And the link is there in the chat. And you know, the resources are out there to be able to protect yourself. And it's kind of,
there's also hoodoo psychics where, you know, it's rare you find a psychic hotline. We'll say hotline, you know, that's the buzzword of the day. But a live phone line where someone actually also specializes in spell work. So it's not just a reading. Everyone on there can actually prescribe root work for you, which makes it unique.
I don't think there actually is another organization like that, now that I think about it.
I think there are many that won't allow that. It's in their bylaws.
And, you know, our friends at Hoodoo Psychics also, that is in place for AIR. So, you know, it builds in and of itself. And I think in no uncertain terms that it's built a hell of a template for what people should be looking for as they're going out about their business.
Right. Another thing about choosing a good spiritual worker to do work for you is, well, let me tell you what I do. One thing, I also try to get them to do the work themselves at first and encourage them. You do have the ability to do this. You have much more to lose or gain than I do. You know, I'm happy to guide you through this if you're up to it. You don't have to pay me except for, you know, the reading or the consultation where I'm taking you through the steps. But also to find a worker who will say no to you. Like, I don't think that's going to work based on this, based on what you told me. Why don't we spin it and try this instead? Because you have too many people out there that just go along with whatever someone asks for when they don't think it's going to work for them. So it's important to actually be honest with people. Right. It's important to, well, if they don't ask questions, I think it's important to force them into questions by just giving them answers.
Actually a very good point. And that's having many consulting clients who have built their, you know, their own abilities and found their starting to find their footing and really doing the hands-on. It's almost like a good spiritual worker will coax you out of your shell and let you really grow in your spiritual calling, along your spiritual path. They will help you along that path, not just do it all for you and slap a Band-Aid on it and say, yep, this is good to go, here we go.
Right, because, you know, and there comes a time when you have to take the bandage off so the wounds can finish healing. Otherwise, you just end up with, well, pus. So,
right?
Doing that does not work that way. It's temporary. It's a rubber band on a motor engine.
Right. You know, my teachers over the years, That's one of the biggest things I've looked for too, you know, is how far they let me participate in what's going on. You know, is it lecture or is it hands-on experience? And I think that really it builds the holistic side of the spiritual work. But I do have a question for you now. Let's get your opinion on this.
Let me answer something in relation to what you just said, because Kat brought it up in the – but hey, don't forget that thought. Kat said, I love teaching clients to become co-participants in their own magic. And I preach that constantly, that it is vitally important that you are doing something at the same time I'm doing work for you. Because if I'm lighting candles and praying for you, and you're just sitting around not watching Netflix and not trying to further your goal, then to me it's not going to work. So, yeah, I think all clients should be co-participants in their own magic, just like Kat said. But, yeah, go ahead.
The scales definitely need to be balanced. It's not, you know, you can't have all the heavy lifting on one side. It just doesn't work. But what's your take on spiritual workers themselves versus, like, where do you put your importance? Is it more on experience of the worker or the education that they've gone through?
Well, you know, that's a good question because, you know, I think it depends on where their education came from. Because, you know, there are a lot of people come into the shop with some strange information because I tell them, you know, soft pedal this. I'm not sure what all we can say on the radio. We'll just say, I tell them, listen, any butthole can write an article. Where did you learn this from? And that doesn't mean that I'm saying my way is the only way, but there are some ridiculous things out there. So I think, where does your education come from? Did it come from someone who actually knew this? Once again, you may want to research your teachers or the books that you're buying. I mean, a lot of mine came from book learning prior to, like, meeting Miss Kat, who taught me a lot of things from not only from her books or being a part of AIR and things, but conversations with her. So I consider her a mentor, but there are other parts that I learned from books. And then you may say, well, how does this author know about this? And some are professors of folklore, and I'm not saying you have to be, but once again, I would say published works are probably more reliable than often. Not always the case, than just things on the internet. Just because there are some really good blogs out there from people who have not written books, but they're dedicated to it and they do it a lot. So,
I mean, you'll see them. You know, they're vetting their sources and really bringing in a comprehensive view of whatever item that they're discussing at the time. You know, I wanted to throw in that caveat too about, you know, not every published book even should be taken
correct
100% at face value. Do your work, you know, do your research, you know, don't read one book on mediumship and plan and talk to Elvis. You know, don't read one book on tarot divination and plan to take over the world as, you know, the penultimate of readers. You know, really take that time and go through several sources, and you'll start to see, you know, the legitimacies and building those the discernment.
You know what? I still take tarot classes. If someone is coming into the shop with a class that I'm seeing, oh, they're taking a different angle, I take the class. You should continuously learn until the day you die. There's so many people that show me different ways. It's like, I didn't even know that card meant that after all these years. And then you do some research behind them and say, oh, they didn't make this up. This is actually written in several places. I just never found it.
You know, that's a huge point. You know, myself included, I will take classes from whomever I can actually find them from. Here in Western North Carolina, not so many classes available. But, you know, I still learn all the time. and you know the where, like you said, you know, you said about Miss Kat being a mentor. I can definitely second that. I love to listen to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour when Miss Kat's reading her cards, and it's like, oh, wow, that's really an intriguing interpretation and that what she's pulling out of this card. And it, you know, these things, you find the legitimate ones, the legitimate workers, the legitimate spiritual advisors, and you really, you try to learn all you can.
And even with Kat, you'll occasionally she'll pop up with like, oh, I never heard that before. So, another one, constantly learning, and don't be afraid to say, I don't know that, but thanks.
That's one of my biggest phrases is, you know what, that's an excellent question, but I don't have an answer for you right away, but I will get back to you and always follow up.
Hey, there are times even when we're writing a book together, Kat and I have written two books together, I will just come out and tell her, she'll say, Kat is very well educated, and she will spit out a word, and I'll have to say, Kat, what does that mean? I don't know what that word means. I'm not afraid to say, I don't know what that word means, instead of just sitting there like, uh-huh, yeah, I agree with you.
I've learned to Google very quickly.
I'll just come out and tell her, I don't know what that word means.
This really, you know, we joke and everything, but really finding those mentors and the people that others speak highly of, you know, this, it's all part and parcel of finding that spiritual worker that is right for you. You know, some things to look at is like cultural background. Earlier in the show, we spoke about how hoodoo is primarily, you know, it originated from the African-American culture. You know, is this something that is important to you? You know, the cultural practice, are you looking for somebody that was, you know, brought up Buddhist or follows a Buddhist path? You know, do they adhere to a specific magical tradition? Are they of a specific religious practice? All these things that really you want to take into consideration more so than just so-and-so slapped up a website or so-and-so is on Etsy, they must be good, or
well,
so-and-so is on social media. I'll have to admit, I think I've been on Etsy twice.
I have found some actually really interesting things made on Etsy. There's someone in, I think, where's she from? Guatemala, who makes these little voodoo dolls. And I order them from her and sell them in my little section of the store under, I don't say I make them. I actually say these came from a worker in Guatemala. And it's just, has videos where she hand sews them. So, there's a lot of silliness on there. But you can find some interesting things that are crafted by artisans. But you just have to put in about 35 different search terms to find the good stuff.
You know, there's actually some really interesting questions rolling through in the chat that kind of want to get your take on it here. For instance, where does the line really exist between ordinary endeavors and spiritual work? Does it help if you're, it was put as witch for hire, is an expert in what he or she is helping to bring into being, like if you're doing a work for increasing your business, does it help if they're also a business owner or banker, stockbroker, you know, things of that, those natures? Does, how, what do you think about that?
Well, yeah, even Kat brought up in the chat, too, that, you know, if you want, go to a conjure doctor who is happily married for marriage work, so they actually understand the ins and outs of it. I think it's two parts. I think we each have strengths, but it's also important as a spiritual worker to also say, I'm not good at that. When I first joined, after I took the Hoodoo Correspondence course, and I first started doing more Hoodoo-oriented spiritual work for people, at first I did not take court work cases. Actually said, I have, you know, Spirit tells me I'm not supposed to take these because I wouldn't be any good at it. Well, after a couple of years, someone kept saying, you know, please do this, I did that, and they won. And then I did another one, and they won. I had one where her son, she was an African-American woman, her son was pulled over in Alabama for, I think he was just barely speeding or something, and the judge was known to be fairly racist. And I gave her several things to do. I had them, you know, these days you can't chewing John and spit it on the courtroom floor anymore. So one of the things I had her do was each of them chew it a little bit and spit it out when they get out of the car before they go up to the court. And, you know, she said that that judge was sentencing young black men right and left that day. And when it got to them, he gave her son, it dismissed. She thought it was going to be probation, but he just dismissed it. So I'm like, okay, well, now I can do court work. But at the time, I didn't have the confidence to do it. I didn't think I would be any good at it. So I said to the public, no, I don't do that. It's not my bailiwick. Which mine actually is success and money work.
So definitely... then I guess we can take that to as long if the person has that successful track record, then that's definitely something that's you want to look for in your spiritual worker. But I want to go back
this goes back to research.
Right. I want to talk a little bit more like what Ms. Kat said.
You know, that's like
if you want a good marriage. Okay, yes.
You know, it's like I'm an influencer, and you go and look, and they have, you know, 116 followers. It's like, you're not an influencer. I'm not sending you free stuff in the mail because you're going to talk about it to your 116 followers. So, yeah, you have to more research on people.
Very much so. I want to touch a little bit more on this statement Miss Kat made in the chat about, you know, if you want a good marriage, seek a reader and a conjure doctor who is happily married. You know, this, I don't think a lot of people take this into consideration, you know, and trying to find somebody, at least in my view, trying to find somebody that has the experiences that you want or that you feel are important to be able to carry forth the work is extremely important. You know, even down to the nuance of, you know, do you go to an LGBTQ worker for a
gay magic,
successful gay magic, you know, gay marriage, things of that nature, or do you rely on someone who doesn't necessarily have that experience? Not to say that somebody that, you know, a cis straight individual couldn't be completely successful, but do we look for that level of comfortability and understanding? And what are your thoughts on that?
You know, with that, I think it could go either way. I think you, with that one, you have to probably do what many people, some people will, I actually don't have you do a consultation with me before I do work for you, but many people do. So if that's something that's important to you as someone who's seeking a worker, it may be good to have a reading or a consultation with someone first to see how they vibe with the topic when you bring it up, and then listen to your instincts. Can they speak on the topic? What are their opinions on it? You don't want someone who's homophobic doing, like, gay love work.
Very true.
So it may be good for, in those cases, if that's important to the person seeking the work, to maybe do a consultation with someone first or reading. But other than that, I'm not sure how to answer that, because I think it all depends on the individual, the worker, their ethics, their lack of ethics. And sometimes you just don't know until after it's all said and done.
That's the unfortunate
truth. And someone
could
say, hey, yeah, I was happily married, you know, but they could have also been divorced 3 times after that. Or it's like, I'm going to go to her for love work. It's like, oh, do you know she had 3 husbands who died mysteriously? So we're back with research. So what do you think about it?
You know, in my estimation, you know, I really feel that trying to find a worker that has that sort of history or status really does and can add an additional dimension. But at the same time, like I said, you know, it's not that another competent, experienced, well-educated worker couldn't be just as successful. But in my experience, a lot of it has really come down to more of, do you speak the same language to be able to understand?
Right.
You know, in various communities,
sort of like,
there
do you
are,
get where they're coming from?
Right. You know, various communities, various religious traditions, various spiritual traditions, you know, there are languages within these traditions that sometimes, you know, somebody that's had the experience as a worker for and has been doing it for a very long time, they know how to ask questions that will, you know, kind of get down to the nitty-gritty and don't have a problem saying, you know what, I'm not necessarily understanding this. Can you explain this to me? But, you know, there still could be, at least in some cases, I feel that there could still be a little bit of a disconnect.
And also, all good workers began as an inexperienced worker, too. So someone may change over the years. Of course, there's a lot of bad workers who have been doing it for a long time, but there's a lot of really good workers who at one time, they were newbies.
Very true. And, you know, that's one thing, too, that we kind of really haven't touched on is the workers that will tell you, that really put the pressure on that, you know, oh, you know, you have this curse on you, this generational curse. Or I'm the only one that's strong enough to be able to pull this off of you and so on and so forth. Or the ones that really are putting the pressure on, you know, this is something else, another dimension to really watch out for. Because while you kind of want to be able to go from worker to worker, you don't want to quote unquote worker hop. You know, you want to take some time to build a relationship, but if that it's like dating. If you're, if the relationship's not working out, you're not getting the results, you should feel comfortable as a client, as a customer, to be able to step away and possibly find somebody that might be able to bring you to what you, to the resolutions you were looking for.
We do have a worker here in Nashville. She's not a hoodoo worker. A psychic, we'll say psychic within air quotes. And we'll just say they're in the vicinity of our shop. And there are other ones where we've heard tales. Like, I went over to that other place and got a reading. I came here because, number one, it wasn't a very good reading. And number two, at the end of it, she's like, you have a dark entity around you, which I can remove for $500. So when you hear that from people, run. Just run. Sometimes it could be true, but most of the time when it all ends like that, especially if it's $1,500, there's so many people like that. There are a lot of walk-in places. And you're like, how does this place stay open? There's never any cars in the parking lot. That's because they're charging $1,000 to remove a curse that wasn't there to begin with. So if someone tells you you have a curse, go to someone else and see what they say. And don't tell them anything about the other experience. Just see where the reading leads.
Very true. And really just to never feel like you're locked in to any one course of action.
I don't think anyone large amount of money without checking them out.
Right. You know, there's some really good questions in the chat right now. What do you think about spiritual workers working for friends and family?
I think it depends on what the situation is, because if it's something you're also doing to protect your friend or family, then by all means do it with their permission, or for their health or whatever. But sometimes in matters of love and marriage, sometimes it's better to stay out of it, because there's this person's side of the story and there's that person's side of the story, and usually the truth lies somewhere in the middle. So if you are too connected to the person, you immediately want to take their side. Before you know it, you're doing this magical work based on something they, you know, kind of rewrote in their head a little bit. That's not really the case. It's, usually we're dealing with couple or marriage work. That's what I'm referring
right.
to. Because no one ever has the true story of a breakup or a divorce, or there's always two sides. And you're always going to take the side of your friend or your family. Now, however, if someone is actually, you know, say someone's beating their wife or the husband, and the wife's beating the husband or something, yeah, I'll step in and do that. That's not the same thing as a he said, she said sort of scenario. To me. What about you?
I agree with you on that.
You would not work?
You know, I personally, I try to stay out of as much of the friends and family situations, just because of how messy it could possibly get, depending on the situation. It's something I think workers really have to weigh on both a moral and ethical level of how close you are to said person, to said individuals, if if there's many people in the situation.
With Carl asking the chat, what are the moral limitations of doing work for children? Do you need parental permission?
I would say yes, unequivocally. That,
now, at that same token, I've had someone who reached out wanting me to do work to keep their kid at home. More explain on it. It's almost like they wanted to stunt their success independence so that they would be forced to stay home with them. I'm not doing that kind of work for anyone. Correct. So there's a parent reaching out, actually wanting to do what they didn't realize, or they may subconsciously realize, they didn't consider it to be negative work. It was more selfish work. I actually wouldn't do work
on
children myself. Unless it were something like hex removal or confidence boosting or something like that. Yeah, with the parents' permission. Why not? Why not give them all the confidence they can?
Right.
This is
parental
examples.
Permission is the key. Is the key to that, as far as from my standpoint on it. Really, because when you're doing work with an individual, it is contractual. There are two sides to this agreement. And both sides are expected to fulfill their part of the agreement. And in a lot of cases, children aren't ready to or able to understand the level of commitment that might be needed for whatever it is. So I think it's important to have the parents involved for any work with, I would honestly, my cutoff is 18.
I don't think I've ever actually been asked to do any work for anyone underage. But now we have
I've been approached,
in case that happens.
I've been approached at like expos and psychic fairs and things of that nature, where they're family friendly events, and I've had, kids as young as 12 years old coming up wanting a reading or, wanting to, learn the pendulum or do this, that, or the other thing. And, you always, to me, an ethical worker always wants to make sure that they're not encroaching on the parents' rights in those situations.
Right.
It's kind of, troll put in there about, having a child coming up wanting to win the lottery. I've actually had that question.
Actually, they can't buy lottery tickets, right? At least you can't in Tennessee.
No, they can't. But, and I actually had a situation. I was at an expo in Warren, Ohio, and I had a young gentleman come up to my table and asked me if I could either give him a reading so that he could give his parents the winning number because I guess his father had recently lost his job, give him winning lottery numbers, or if there was or I could teach him how to do spell work to help his family out. And, that really kind of pulls at the heartstrings right there. That was very
coming from a good place, but, if I could give winning lottery numbers, I wouldn't be sitting here charging $35 for this reading. I'd be on the beach.
Private beach.
Maybe doing a phone reading because I want to. A lot of people do that. Can you guarantee you can give me the winning lottery numbers? like, no, if I could do that, I'm giving myself that winning lottery number. And you can keep your $50.
Right. And that's actually one of the scams that we see so often online is, you know, send me $10 and I'll send you the, you know, winning lottery numbers for next week's such and such drawing or what have you. And
$10 versus $6.2 million. Which one do I choose?
Well, this has actually been a very enlightening discussion, and I'm hoping our listeners
today... Kat, I need you... Kat, put in the chat, she gives out winning lottery numbers all the time. Well, I need you to give me some. After the show, Kat is going to give us some winning lottery numbers.
Reverend James,
sorry,
winning
ahead.
And the lucky are different. But, you know, I just really hope that, you know, we've sparked with this conversation for our listeners, you know, some of these things to look for when they're out and about, you know, braving the wilderness of the spiritual world to keep them safe and to help them to really, you know, find those workers that will make their lives better, make their situations better, you know, whether that's, you know, confidence building and such. And I really want to thank you, Papaji, for bringing this topic today. We have about 20 seconds left here. Is there anything you want to add before we go?
Yeah, just tell people to, you know, listen to your instincts when you're talking to someone or choosing a worker. Research them a little bit, which we talked about, and don't go against your instincts, no matter what they promise you or, you know, always go with your instincts. Check out the vibe of the person. Do you vibe with them?
Very true. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight, and I hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening, everyone. Until next time we meet, keep the magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Thank you, Reverend Art, and thank you, Papa G of Aroma G's Botanica and Papa G's Folk Magic Studio for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, will be Heidi Holton of HeidiHolton.com in Western North Carolina, discussing making magic, making music, and living life on your own terms. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at FolkConjure.com, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.com, and on Hoodoo Psychics Thursdays and Fridays from 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and Saturdays and Sundays from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. From all of us at Mystics Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics Mages and Magical Places on Facebook and Mystics Mages Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful week, everybody. Thank you for joining us.